American scene and also abroad, there are a number of scholars of renown who don't need introduction. I'll just tell you very briefly about Rabbi Herschel Schachter, from whom we shall hear this afternoon. He is a YU product, straight through from high school, I think, and was one of the leading scholars under the tutelage of the Rav, Rabbi Soloveitchik. When he became a Rosh Yeshiva, he was in his lower 20s. Today, we shall hear from him on a very interesting subject, Kabbalat HaMitzvot as a sine qua non for Geirut. Rabbi Schachter.
Thank you very much. The Gemara tells us that when a non-Jew comes to convert, the act of conversion requires three parts. If it's a man, he requires milah, a bris milah. If it's a woman, there's no possibility of milah, but they still require tevilah. The woman has to go to a mikveh. The man or the woman must go to a mikveh. And the third maisa geirus, the third act of conversion, is the bringing of a carbon. The Gemara says, if that is the case, how can we accept any converts today that there's no beis hamikdash and we don't bring any korbanos? So the Gemara derives from a pasuk in Chumash, all of this is derived from a pasuk in Chumash, that whenever the Torah tells us that it will be possible to accept Gerim, to accept converts through all of the generations. So whenever you live in a generation when it's possible to bring korbanos, then it's required. Whenever it's impossible, there's manshein beis hamikdash kayim, then the korban is not miyakev. Just as a milsa de b'dichusa, the Gemara says that some of the Amoraim, before they would begin their shiur, would crack a little bit of a joke to put the Talmidim into a pleasant mood. Years ago, when Ben-Gurion started this whole confusing issue of Mihu Yehudi, there was a Professor Zeitlin, who by now is already a Fianavelt, he passed away a long time ago from Philadelphia, from Dropsy College, who was my father's professor also. So he at that time published a whole essay explaining why the din is so. How did the rabbis know in the Talmud that you require milah and tefillah and korban for a non-Jew who comes to convert? So the Gemara learns it out from a pasuk, but he thought that he knew better than the Gemara. That's an asmachta. He had a whole interpretation. So he said, well, milah, bris milah, every Jew needs milah. So of course, if it's a man, he has to have a bris milah. Tefillah, that's only midirabbanon, because the rabbis proclaim, biblically speaking, min ha-Torah, a non-Jew while he's alive cannot be mekabel tumah. Just like a behem is not mekabel tumah, so a non-Jew is not mekabel tumah. After the nochri dies, then he's a mace, so he has a tumas mace. But while he's alive, the Gemara learns out from a pasuk that there's no tumah. But midirabbanon, the rabbis declare that all non-Jews, men and women, have a tumah like a zav. So when the non-Jew comes to convert, so of course he has to go to the mikveh, because now he's becoming Jewish and you want it to be tohor. So any person who is a Zav, who becomes pure, who becomes Tor, has to go to the mikveh, this is a Dava Pasha. And in Eila, now we understand why he has to bring a korban, because the Chumash requires that some people who are Tomei, who go to mikveh, it's not enough that they go to mikveh, they have to bring a korban also. So one of those lucky people who's Tomei, who's a Mechusri Kippur, means that after he goes to mikveh, he still has to bring a korban to complete his Tahara process, is a Zav. So of course the rabbis required that the Gersh and his Geyer has to bring a korban. So I remember at that time, there used to be an Anglo-Jewish newspaper, the Jewish Post. I don't know if it still exists. Jewish Post and Pin still exists. So then years ago, they carried a synopsis of what Professor Zeitlin had said. So they had letters to the editor complaining, it's ridiculous, ridiculous. I remember that time I was a little boy. Remember that time one of the people sent in a letter to the editor, the whole thing doesn't stim. The whole thing is ridiculous. Mamish Purim Torah. Because the halacha distinguishes between two types of a mikveh. There is a mikveh, where you have rainwater collected in a pit in the ground, and then there's a mayon. Some people are tomei, so tomei that if they'll just be toivel in a mikveh, that's not enough to remove the tumah. You have to be toivel dafke in mayim chayim. Mayim chayim is not the description of any mikveh, that's a special mikveh where the source of the water is from under the ground. Like in the ocean is a mayon, mayim chayim. Or if you have a fountain where the water comes from under the ground. So the zav, that tomei, happens to be one of those lucky people whose tumah is so severe that he requires tefillah and a mayon to become tohar. A ger, any ger who comes to convert, doesn't require tefillah and a mayon. So how can the good professor say that the tefillah that's required for a ger is because the ger had a status of a zav beforehand, and now he's becoming Jewish, he's purifying himself. So every zav requires tefillah and mikveh. It doesn't correspond. Then we should have required for a ger tefillah and a mayon. The din is not so. It's sufficient with a mikveh. And then the second point I remember that stands out in my mind was, how can he say that the requirement of a korban is only midirabbanon? Because the rabbis declared the non-Jew, all the nochem are declared as a zav. And a zav who purifies himself, a zav shenitaher, is required by the chumash to bring a korban. There is no such thing as a chiv korban midirabbanon. The rabbis cannot require people to bring a korban chayva because it'll be chulam ba'azara. So how can he say such a thing? So Professor Zeitlin had an answer. So he didn't understand the difference between a mikveh and a mayan. So he wrote, it's all the same thing. Just didn't understand the chumash. Didn't know how to translate the words in the chumash. And then he had to respond to the korban. So he never heard of such a thing, that there's no korban midirabbanon. So he said, he just chazed over what he said originally. He repeated again. He was a zav and he becomes tohar, and the Torah requires that a zav should bring a korban. Didn't understand even the arguments. So that's the Purim Torah. How did the Gemara know that this is so? In truth, how did the Gemara know that a ger habole his gayer is required to undergo these three maisei gerus, three acts of conversion? The mila, the tefillah, the korban. So the Gemara derives this from a pasuk where the pasuk makes a hekesh, a comparison between our forefathers who converted at Har Sinai. The Gemara says that Maimon Har Sinai was an act of conversion. And the reason why it's described in the Chumash is not only for history's sake, but rather for halachic purposes, to teach us the din ledoros, what the halacha should be in all future generations, how a non-Jew should be accepted as a gershon is guy. So the Gemara says, just like your forefathers converted, the pasuk makes it, just like ma'avis sechel anichnasu lebris, just as your forefathers only converted at the occasion of Har Sinai with milo and bris milo and tefillah to be tovel in the mikveh and korban, and the Gemara shows this from the various psukim, so too throughout all the generations, if a ger comes to convert, he will be required to undergo the three acts of geris as well, all three being required min ha-Torah. So the commentaries on Chumash point out that this is also the source of the requirement, obviously, of Kabbalah's all mitzvahs, because when Bnei Yisrael were standing Har Sinai and HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered them the option, are they interested in accepting the bris? So they all screamed out Nasa v'nishma. They all said they want to accept Nasa means they accept upon themselves Kabbalah's all mitzvahs. So this is the pasuk where we derive the principle of Kabbalah's all mitzvahs. And just as the Gemara says that all of the other three are ma'akev, the milo, and the tefillah, and the korban are le'ikuva, so too obviously the Kabbalah's all mitzvahs, the accepting upon oneself the obligation to fulfill mitzvahs, is also mi'akev. It's interesting, the Ramban even goes a little further in his commentary on Chumash, and he points out that the Gemara requires that the Beis Din should familiarize the ger, the convert, the potential convert, with a sampling of the mitzvahs before he accepts upon himself the Kabbalah's on mitzvahs. Exactly what does he have to know before he accepts it? So do we require that he should pass an examination in the Mishnah Brura? And every single sif, he has to know Siman Aleph and Siman Beis and Siman Gimel. Then he has to know Yeredeya and Avenez and Chashmish, but he has to have a more strenuous bechina than a rabbi needs for smicha, because he has to accept upon himself. We are born Jewish, so we are lucky. We don't have to know all those dinim. We have a shayla, we'll ask the rabbi. But the non-Jew who comes to convert, we have to give him a bechina and a test to see, does he really accept this din, that din, the other din? So he has to know all the dinim. So the Gemara says, that's impossible. How can you ever accept a geri? You have to teach him every single din in advance. It's impossible. So the Gemara says, Maspik, it's sufficient if Modim also, if we notify him Miktsas Mitzvos Kalos or Miktsas Mitzvos Chamuris. We give him a sampling of the mitzvahs. We tell him some of the difficult mitzvahs, some of the easy mitzvahs. We tell him about the Arayis, which marriages are prohibited now that he will become Jewish, which before he was permitted to marry these relatives. We tell him about Tchum Shabbos, which is a hardship. We tell him about giving payah, giving tzedakah to the aniyim, which is a little easier, kibbut aviyim. A sampling of the various mitzvahs. So the Ramban says, and where did the rabbis derive that from? That it's necessary and it's required to give modim osa mitzvahs mitzvahs kalos and mitzvahs mitzvahs chamuras. So he says that too is derived from Maimon Har Sinai, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed the Aseres HaDibros, that whereas Rashi on Chumash quotes in the name of the Rabbeinu Sadya Goen, Rashi on Parshas Mishpatim quotes, Rav Sadya Goen claims that the Aseres HaDibros are the basic 10 categories under which we can subsume all of the 613 mitzvahs. All the dini momentis fall under the category of loisigzol, loisignayv, and many other mitzvahs fall under anochi Hashem Elokecha, and so on. All of the tayag mitzvahs can be classified and categorized according to these basic 10 principles of kol haTorah kula. So the Ramban HaChumash doesn't accept that view of the Rabbeinu Sadya Goen. He says no, that the aseres hadibros are nothing special, nothing different from Kala Tarukula. It's not that these are the 10 basic principles upon which everything rests and everything derives. He says the halacha requires that when you have a convert, you have to notify him some of the difficult mitzvahs, some of the easy mitzvahs. So the Rebbeinu Shlom exactly did that. The Aseret HaDibros, he told about Avodah Zarah and Shabbos. He didn't say Kashrus. And then he said Kibud Aviyim, which is a little easier a mitzvah, maybe a little more difficult, however one views it. And Laisigzol is a little easier, that the Goyim also understand Laisigzol. The Aseret HaDibros merely is a Modim Moser. It's a way to fulfill this requirement in Hilchos Geiris of Modim Moser Mitzvahs Mitzvahs Kalos or Mitzvahs Mitzvahs Chamor. So just to review in principle, all of the halachas in connection with Geiris are derived from Ayman HaSinai. This is how the Gemara interprets a pasuk in the Chumash. And whatever was required in Ayman HaSinai, that's exactly what is required throughout all the future generations for a Geir. That's how we know that you need Milo, because Bnei Yisrael had a bris Milo before they left Mitzrayim, not only for the sake of Korban Pesach, but to lead up to the Geiris. And the Tefillah and Mikveh was required also prior to Ayman HaSinai. They had to be Tevil and a Mikveh. And they had Kabbalahs on mitzvahs, and they brought Karbonah. So the same is required throughout all of the future generations. The Meforshim are bothered with two interesting kashas, and they point out that the one kasha answers the other kasha. If everything is derived from Mamre HaSinai, and at Mamre HaSinai there was a Gilu Shechina, whatever exactly that meant, but there was something, some heavenly fire was visible to the people. So why shouldn't we require throughout all the future generations a Gilu Shechina? How can you accept a Ger Bizman Azeh without a Gilu Shechina if you're learning out from Mamre HaSinai? And the other kasha, the Tzveita kasha, is that the Gemara requires for a Ger Habola his Gayer that he must be Tevel in the Mikveh in the presence of a Bezdin. You have to have three men there who constitute a Bezdin, and the Bezdin has to accept the Ger. Where do you see in the Chumash that there was a Bezdin at the time of Mamre HaSinai? So some of the Meforshim point out that they think that the one kasha Farem is the other kasha, that in truth you really should require a Gilu Shechina throughout all the future generations when you want to be Kabbalah Ger, because the whole idea of Kabbalah's Ger is a krisis bris, a covenant, a treaty, an agreement between two parties. So you have the lawyer draws up the papers and both parties have to sign, and I give him one copy, I give him another copy. So if you want to have a Ger who's entering into a contract with the Rebbeinu Shlom, so you should have the Rebbeinu Shlom's presence there. Some divine, some heavenly fire should come down from heaven, and the Ger, and they should shake hands or whatever. The fire is like by Avraham Avinu. The fire went through the Bein Absarim, and Avraham Avinu walked through Bein Absarim. So the both parties were present. So we should li'olam, we should really require a Gilu Shechina. But the Rebbeinu Shlom was not prepared to reveal himself in such an apparent fashion throughout all the future generations. So he said, if you'll constitute a Bezdin, and I promise you, Elokim Nitza Badas Kel, whenever there's a Bezdin constituted, the Shechina will be there in hiding to help the Bezdin out, to Paskin the Shaila, to do whatever they want to do. So we require a Bezdin, so the Shechina is there. It's not a Gilui Shechina, but there is a presence, there is a Hashras HaShechina. So it's Hainu Hach, it's the same thing. It's not that at Har Sinai there was something that we don't require, and today we have something that they didn't have at Har Sinai, the Bezdin with the Gilui Shechina. It's all the same thing. The Shechina has to be present. At the time of Har Sinai, the Shechina came in person, in an apparent fashion, and today we require a Bezdin to bring the Shechina there, because whenever you have a Bezdin, the Shechina will be present. Exactly how rigorous a Kabbalah's whole mitzvah is it necessary to have? Is it sufficient if the Bezdin interrogates the Ger and they ask him questions which they know in advance he's going to say yes to? Any nice guy would say yes to these. Do you promise to support the state of Israel by buying bonds? Zokta, yes. Are you going to march in the Israeli parade? Zokta, yes. Will you support the synagogue? Zokta, yes. When he was a goy, he didn't support the synagogue, didn't support the state of Israel. Now zokta, yes. Will you give charity to the Jewish poor? Zokta, yes. For yahafta l'racha kamoicha, will you love all the Jewish people? Zokta, yes. Is that sufficient for a Kabbalah's whole mitzvah? So there are some poskim who wrote that if you're faced with a very difficult situation, you have a goy who's walking around as a Jew. He thinks he's Jewish because his father was Jewish, but his mother was not Jewish, and he's married to a Jewish girl, or his name is Shapiro, Olivi, or whatever, Schechter, Cohen, whatever. He's going to marry a Jewish girl anyway. There's nothing we can do to prevent him from passing on as a Jew, and he's prepared to undergo geiris, but we know he's not prepared to keep any of the mitzvahs. We're going to tell him Shabbos, Kasha, Taras, Hamishpacha. He's going to say no, obviously. So if it's a Shas HaTchagodl, so some poskim say that ask him the questions that you know in advance he's going to say yes to, and that will be sufficient. This is highly, highly questionable. Why? For the following reason. Those who were here yesterday at the first shiur the Rabban Lichtenstein gave already know what the answer is. When a ger comes to convert, he becomes Kodosh, he becomes Niskadish B'Kedushas Yisrael. There's such a thing as a Kedusha that every Jewish person has. Then there's Kedushas Kehunah, then there's Kedushas Leviyah, but there's such a thing as Kedushas Yisrael. What exactly does Kedusha mean? So when we recite a bracha, we give the definition, Kedushana B'Mitzvahis V'Tzivana. Kedusha means that a person is mechuyav to keep mitzvahs. There is no such thing as what the Sforim call Kedusha Artiloi. It's just an abstract concept of abstract, naked Kedusha. Kedusha Artiloi is alone. Now, Kedusha means Kedushana B'Mitzvahis V'Tzivana. In fact, Rav Soloveitchik expressed his opinion on different occasions. There is a discussion that the Achronim have, a popular discussion. What was the status of the Ovos Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yankiv Koidem Matan Torah after they were given the mitzvah of Bris Milah? Did they still have the status of Bnei Noach? Or perhaps we should assume that they were Yotzei Mechlal Bnei Noach. They became Yisraelim when they were given the first mitzvah of Bris Milah. So other than Mishlam Melech has a whole sefer on Drush, Parashas Drachim, where he has the first essay, is a long pilpul about this. He claims that it's a dispute between Tosfos and the Ramban, Ramban HaChumash. And some Achrayim make a compromise that Rav Soloveitchik thought was the correct position, that to the extent that the Ovis had an obligation to keep additional mitzvahs before the days of Avraham Avinu, everyone was only obligated to keep the basic Shevi mitzvahs Bnei Noach. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Avraham Avinu, and he required of him an additional mitzvah, namely the one mitzvah Bris Milah, so Avraham Avinu was endowed with a partial Kedushas Yisrael, to the extent that you have an additional mitzvah over and above the Shevi mitzvahs, so to that extent, you have a partial Kedushas Yisrael, that's Kedushana B'Mitzvahis V'Tzivana. But it wasn't a full Kedushas Yisrael because he wasn't obligated to keep all of the Tayag mitzvahs. In the next generation, Yitzchak was granted an additional mitzvah. The Rambam quotes from the Medrash Rabba, and the other Rishonim quote, we have the Medrash Rabba on Chumash Bereshis, that Avram was given the mitzvah of Milah, and Yitzchak was given the ability to be Mafrish Maisus. We read in last week's Sedra that Vayizra Ba'aretz Ahi Vayimtza Shom Mea She'orim, and Rashi quotes in the Medrash, how did he know that it was 100 times how much should have grown? So Rashi quotes in the Medrash that he made a calculation how much Trumas and Maisus he'll be given, and it turned out to be 100 times as much. So we see from the Medrash that Yitzchak was given the ability to be Mafrish Maisus. Tam, if I decide I buy 10 books and a Mafrish Maisus, so it's not Chal. If you buy apples from America and you Mafrish Maisus, it's not Chal. So how could Yitzchak have the ability to be Mafrish Maisus? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the opportunity to fulfill that mitzvah. If there's no Din of Tevel, so there's no opportunity. So he was granted that mitzvah. Avraham Avinu didn't have the opportunity. Even if he would try, he couldn't fulfill the mitzvah of Hafrashas Maisus. And later, the Rambam quotes from the Pasuk and from the Medrash that Yaakov Avinu was given the additional mitzvah of Gidon Osher. What is the significance of the Medrash? What is it driving at? That Avraham had one mitzvah, and Yitzchak had an additional mitzvah, and Yankov had an additional mitzvah. So the Kavana was, Rav Soloveitchik suggested that you read in the Chumash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with Avraham, and then he repeated again a bris with Yitzchak, a bris with Yaakov, a bris with Yankov Avinu. Every time a bris, what is the significance of a krisis bris? A krisis bris means HaKadosh Baruch Hu endows that person and his descendants with a Kedushas Yisrael. So why was it necessary to make another krisis bris with Yitzchak and a third krisis bris with Yankov? They already had a krisis bris from the days of Avraham Avinu that was going to continue on, carry over to his descendants. What was the need for another krisis bris? So the answer is that the Kedushas Yisrael that was given to Avraham Avinu was only a partial Kedusha to the extent that he had one mitzvah over and above the Shevi mitzvahs Bnei Noach. He had a mitzvah as Kedushas Yisrael, Kedushana B'mitzvahs V'tzivana, with one mitzvah. Yitzchak was given an additional mitzvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made another krisis bris with Yitzchak. I'm hereby endowing you with an additional degree, an additional dimension of Kedushas Yisrael. I'm giving you another mitzvah. Yankov had another krisis bris because he was given a third mitzvah. So there was more of a Kedushana B'mitzvahis V'tzivana. And then the Rambam continues to explain, based on Midrashim, that in the later generations, when Amram, the father of Moshe Rabbeinu, was in Mitzrayim, he was given yet additional mitzvahs. And later, prior to Kabbalah Sater, they were given several mitzvahs. And then, finally, at Kabbalah Sater was the final krisis bris. And the full Taryag mitzvahs were given with the whole system that we have today. And that was the full Kedushas Yisrael. So it's clear that Kedushas Yisrael has to do with mitzvahs. That's the Nusach HaTfilah that we recite, Kedushanu B'mitzvahis V'tzivonim. And when a ger comes to receive, to be endowed with the Kedushas Yisrael, he has to be mekabel on mitzvahs. It's not sufficient if he says, I want to be Jewish. He has to say, I want to be Jewish and become obligated in mitzvahs, because there is no such thing as a Kedusha without being mechuyev in mitzvahs. But it's a little more than that. If the mitzvahs that he accepts are only mitzvahs asei, and he doesn't accept upon himself any additional mitzvahs loisasei over and above what he had as a goy, he was prohibited to kill and prohibited to violate incest and prohibited to rob and so on. He was prohibited to eat eiv menachai, all of the shevi mitzvahs b'nei noach. So if he doesn't accept upon himself anything over and above those restrictions, this is highly, highly questionable whether this constitutes Kedushas Yisrael. I mentioned earlier that Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein yesterday in his first shiur mentioned the Tosis in Bava Basra and Daf Pei Aleph, where Tosis raises the possibility, there are two opinions in Tosis, and Tosis sort of is noita, Tosis tends to assume that the Kedushas Ha'oretz, that the sanctity that Eretz Yisrael has, that requires us to observe the special agricultural mitzvahs, the mitzvahs HaTlius Boris, the Chodes Karka, as Rav Lichtenstein referred to it yesterday, as the Gemara refers to it, the Kedushas Ha'oretz has to be expressed in the form of prohibitions. It cannot just be expressed in the form of mitzvahs. With respect to Bikurim, that's what Rabban was alluding to, with respect to Bikurim, that if you're not mafrish Bikurim, you don't violate any avera if you eat from all of the everything that grew on your farm. So that, Taisa says, probably does not depend on Kedusha Soretz. That's a special din, it depends on Eretz Yisrael, not the Kedusha Soretz. When you speak of Kedusha Soretz, Kedusha means Kedushana b'mitzos of Tzivanu, Tzivanu means restrictions, prohibitions. The Beis HaMikdash has Kedusha, what does it mean? That a person is tummy, he's not allowed to go there. And the Kohanim have Kedusha, they're prohibited to marry a Grusha and so on. They're prohibited to do certain things. Just to say a Kohen has Kedusha, you can bring Karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, or the Beis HaMikdash has Kedusha, you can bring Karbanos there, that's not enough to describe the area as a Makom Kodesh. Kedusha means it has restrictions with it. So the same Alpi Pashtus is certainly true with respect to a Ger Habol his Gayer. When we notify the Ger of Miktsas Mitzvos Kalos and Miktsas Mitzvos Chamuros, a sampling of the easier mitzvahs and of the more difficult mitzvahs, it's not sufficient just to mention to him a list of mitzvahs asay, will you march in Israeli parade, and will you support the State of Israel, and will you support the synagogue, and will you fulfill the Haftarach HaKamach and give charity, as some poskim write. The Malamed Lahoyal has such a difficult shuvah. So the Pashtus says that that wouldn't be sufficient. The Gemara makes it very clear that the Modim Osa Miktsas Mitzvahs Kalos and Miktsas Mitzvahs Chamuros and the notification of the sampling of the mitzvahs has to include both mitzvahs asay and mitzvahs loisa. So you have to have at least a sampling of some of the prohibitions, some of the restrictions that go along with the Kedushas Yisrael. Araya in the yeshivas and in the books on Machshove, they point out araya to this, a support to this idea from the Gemara is an interesting din of Masechet Shabbos. If a person never heard of the din of Shabbos, then he comes to NCS. Why? And they tell him all about Shabbos, and he's not allowed to turn on the lights, not allowed to turn off the lights, not allowed to write, not allowed to erase, not allowed to drive his car, not allowed to talk on the telephone, not allowed to do this. And then they build a Beis HaMikdash, and he comes to realization he has violated all 39 categories of Malach. So does he, all of his life, every Shabbos, he violated everything. So how many korbanos does this poor man have to bring? Whenever a person violates an avera, which if he would have done it b'meizid chalila, he would have been chayv kares. So if he violates the avera b'shoigeg, he has to bring a korban chatos. And if he violated the avera many times, he has to bring many korbanos. How many korbanos does he have to bring? So the Mishnah says in Masechet Shabbos, it depends. If he never knew the first thing about Shabbos, then he only has to bring one korban. But if he knew, we're talking about, let's say, a religious Jew, he knew it's Shabbos, he just never heard that you're not allowed to turn on the lights on Shabbos. So then he made a mistake. He didn't know you're not allowed to turn on the lights, he didn't know you're not allowed to write. And all the other malachas he knew about. So then the Gemara says he has to bring two korbanos chatas, one for the turning on the lights and one for the writing. And then the Mishnah says, and what if he didn't know about 30 malachas out of the 39? He knew every week that Saturday is Shabbos, the holy day of Shabbos, that you have certain laws about Shabbos. He just was missing 30 malachas. He has to bring 30 korbanos chatos for all the 30 violations that he had. And what if he didn't know all 39 malachas of Shabbos? So the Mishnah says he has to bring 39 korbanos chatos. He knew in principle that there's a Shabbos, but he just didn't know about the 39 malachas. So the Gemara asked, if he knew in principle that there's a Shabbos, in theory, he knows today is Shabbos, he just didn't know about the 39. So the Gemara says, so what in the world did he know about Shabbos? So if you would ask me, if you ask anybody, say, you know, you got to go to shul, you got to make kiddush, you have to eat shalosh shudas, you have to eat cholent, you got to daven, Shabbos to get daven. He knew, all the Jews in America, they know, you ask them what Shabbos is, they never heard of the malachas, they know all the mitzvahs, Hashem. You have to put on big day Shabbos, you have to wear shtreimel, whatever you have to do on Shabbos, we know all the mitzvahs. The Gemara doesn't answer, he knew the mitzvah says, Tesis asked Akasha, why don't you say he knew he got to say Kiddush, and it's a mitzvah to daven specially, and to get dressed up, and to eat Surah Shabbos. The Gemara doesn't answer that. The Gemara says he knew, he didn't know anything about the 39 malachas, but he knew that you're not allowed to go chutz l'tchum. But then the Gemara says, so what if you hold that tchumen is only a rabbinical prohibition? So on the level of the Raista, he knew nothing about Shabbos. The Gemara says, no, he knew about Shvisas Behemto, a different prohibition. What's the Gemara kvetching? Shvisas Behemto is Og Pashut. He knew like the Jews in America. You go to shul, you hear Kriyas HaTorah in the first minyan, then you go to work. When the second minyan comes, years ago, they used to have the first minyan was for the people who went to work. Now the first minyan is for the people who don't want to listen to the rabbi's sermon. They want to sit and learn the whole day. It's a different concept. But years ago, when I was growing up, the first minyan was Loyalena for the people who had to go to work on Shabbos. What was their understanding of Shabbos? You make kiddush and your wife benches licht and you say different davening, you dress up nicely, and then afterwards you go to work. No concept of malo. Why did the Gemara say like that? So the Rishonim comment on that Gemara. Obviously, that's considered he didn't know the first thing about Kedusha Shabbos, because Kedusha means restrictions, limitations. I don't have to say it has Kedusha, so you have to dress up, you have to eat Shabbos. Kedusha means limitations, restrictions. Kedushana b'mitzos of itzivonu of loises. It's not enough of mitzvahs. So that's by the Ger Habola his Gair. The Pashta certainly is that it's not sufficient if he has a Kabbalah sol mitzvahs of mitzvahs asay. He is required to have as well a Kabbalah sol mitzvahs of at least a few mitzvahs loises. Something. You have to tell him something of the loises. And it's not enough if he tell the guy who wants to convert, do you promise not to rob, not to steal? As a non-Jew, he's already prohibited from stealing. Tell me, you promise not to cheat on income tax. He wasn't allowed to cheat on income tax before either. That's included in Geneva. So you have to tell him something, some restrictions that will become incumbent upon him now after he converts to become a Jew. There is a strange statement made by the Rambam, which is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that although this is the proper format for accepting a ger, what happens if the bezin didn't notify the ger of the mitzvos? So the Rambam writes, the haidu asa mitzvos is not miyakev. So the question is, how in the world is that possible? If everything is derived from Amid Asinai, the Milo, the Tefillah, the Karban, the Kabbalah, all mitzvahs, because they declared the Nasim and Ishma. So if everything is learned from Amid Asinai, how can you say that the Haiduah Sam mitzvah is not Miyak? What do you mean? The Goy says, I just want to be Jewish, but I don't plan to keep any mitzvahs, so he's Jewish. How does it fit in with the Yalfusa, with the Limud from the Pasuk? And furthermore, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, quoting verbatim from the Rambam, contradict the Gemara in another place. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch quote that other Gemara also. There's a contradiction in the Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara says in Pchoris that when a ger comes to convert and he promises to keep all the mitzvahs except for one, even if that except for one is only a din midivrei sofrim, it's not even Shabbos kashrus taras hamishpach, it's only one of the laws midivrei sofrim. That's a question in the later commentaries, exactly what that means. The simple meaning is a din midirabbanan. That's what Rab Chaim Oizer learns in his Tshuvas. He promises to keep everything, but he started off as a goy, so he doesn't feel comfortable celebrating Purim, which is a holiday of the victory against the Purim, Chanukah, that he doesn't like. Or he doesn't want a klap haman. He feels that that's highly bad. Well, klap haman is only a minig, that's not really a din. Let's say there's some din midirabbanan that he just doesn't want to accept. So Rab Chaim Oizer understands that's what the Gemara is referring to. And then Rab Chaim Oizer asks, how can it be that because he refuses to accept the din midirabbanan, a rabbinical din, this prevents him from becoming a ger min haTorah? So how is that so? So Rab Chaim Oizer claims that he doesn't see that it's so difficult. It's interesting, the Mishnah Berurah asks the same kashya in Hilchos Shabbos when he talks about Amir l'Nochri. You're permitted to have some special cases, you're permitted to have a Shabbos guy, but you're not permitted to ask a Jew to do malacha for you. So what about a ger toishav, a person who is not Jewish but who promised to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs b'nei Noach? So there it's prohibited min haTorah to ask that person to do malacha for you. So the Mishnah Berurah has a bit of a discussion there. How does one distinguish between a ger and a ger toishav? So he discusses Derech Agav and the tiny letters in the Bir Halacha. He discusses this passage in the Gemara M'choris Daf Lamed about the non-Jew who comes to convert and promises to keep everything except for the Dikta Kechot Medivrei Seifrim, one of the laws which is only Medivrei Seifrim. So the Mishnah Berurah asks the same question that Rab Chaim Oizer asks, what does it mean Divrei Seifrim? So he writes that he doesn't think that it means a Din Midirabbanan. How can you say that a Din Midirabbanan prevents the conversion from being Chal on a level of Deraisa? So he writes that he thinks maybe the term Divrei Seifrim means Torah Shebal Peh, but it's only known for the Torah Shebal Peh, it's not explicit in the Chumash. But whatever it is, it's clear from the Gemara that if you have a non-Jew who accepts upon himself 612 mitzvahs, he just leaves out Shiluah HaKan, whatever, some obscure mitzvah, one of the neglected mitzvahs in the pamphlet that they put into your packet, one of those mitzvahs that no one ever heard of. So if he heard of that, then he doesn't like it, and he says, I accept everything except for that mitzvah, so the conversion is not valid. So how can the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch say that the notification of the ger of the mitzvahs is not miyakeh? So the Mefarshim ask these contradictions, the contradiction in the Rambam and in the Shulchan Aruch, and how does it fit in with the Chumash? So Rav Soloveitchik explained in the name of his father, and Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, interesting, in the name of his father. See, this is a question of Pirush HaMilas. How do you translate the words in the Gemara? Kabbalah on mitzvahs, Haiduah on mitzvahs. So you have to have, you can't figure this out. You can't look on a Jastro. Maybe the word has a different meaning over here from over there. Rabbi Soloveitchik said he heard from his father, this is the pshat. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, I heard from my father, different father. He heard from his father, different pshat. That Rabbi Soloveitchik's mother was the first cousin of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, but his father was not. So they had two different fathers, so they both write the same pshat, and that's what the commentaries on the bottom of the page in the Shulchan Aruch heard from their father also, from the Nechem de Shloimei, from one of the Gedolim from the early 1800s. They write the same pshat. What it means is the following. When the convert, the potential convert comes, so the Gemara gives us a formula, we have to notify him of a sampling of the mitzvah, some of the easy mitzvah, some of the more difficult mitzvah. So the Gemara tells you what you say. You ask him about Tchum Shabbos, you tell him about the prohibited marriages, you tell him about the mitzvah of the Peya, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes all these. So what happens if the Beis Din knows that the Ger, that the candidate for conversion, studied on his own? They were recommended this Ger by a rabbi. The rabbi says he went through the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the relevant part of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and the Ger passed the test and he knows his stuff. So the Ger, the convert, comes to the potential candidate, comes to the rabbi. The rabbi says, do you promise to keep all laws in Terzokta yet? And the rabbi didn't faherim b'miyuchad. He didn't ask him, what about Peya? Peya is only in Eretz Yisrael if you have a farm. I mean, in America we don't have any farms, and even if he had, that doesn't apply in Chutzlar. So he doesn't ask him. He didn't ask him about Tchumen. He didn't ask him about the prohibited marriage. He just says, Stoma. General, in general terms, do you promise to keep all the laws of Torah? Zakta, yeah. So you have a Kabbalah sol mitzvahs. They promised to keep the mitzvahs, but it was a Kabbalah stomas. It was a vague Kabbalah. Nothing specific was singled out. But the Ger says yes, he promises to keep all the laws of the Torah. So that's what all of everybody's father said, Rabbi Soloveitchik's father, Moshe Feinstein's father, Nechem de Shloimeh with his father, everybody writes that that's what the Rambam means. It doesn't mean that Kabbalah on mitzvot is not miyakid, that you can have a non-Jew say, I want to become Jewish, but I don't plan to keep any of the mitzvahs, and the rabbis don't even see at all that he plans to keep any mitzvahs, and he becomes Jewish. That's impossible. What do you mean to become Jewish? To become Jewish means to be endowed with the Kedushas Yisrael. Kedushas Yisrael means again, Kiddushanu b'mitzvahs of Tzivanu. And Kedusha means not enough to have mitzvahs, it means mitzvahs lo says also you have to have some restrictions. So it has to be clear to the Beis Din that's accepting this convert that he plans to observe some of the laws of the Torah. He has to promise to keep all the laws of the Torah, and we have to understand l'chatchila specifically which mitzvahs he has in mind. And b'di'eved, if we didn't specify anything but he makes a general statement, he promises to keep all the mitzvahs of the Torah, that would be sufficient. But to have a non-Jew who converts without any intention at all of keeping any mitzvah, this is clear from the Gemara that the conversion is not valid. Where is it clear from the Gemara? The Gemara has an expression. The Gemara talks about Gerei Aroyos, a non-Jew who converted because of the lions. What lions? When lions? The story is told in Sefer Melachim, in the Book of Kings, in the Tanakh, that there was a group, there was a nation called the Kusim who were brought to Eretz Yisrael in the days of the Melachim. And these people were of the Avodah Zarah. They worshipped a different religion. And these people were living in Eretz Yisrael for a while, and they were attacked by the lions. And they couldn't understand, what did they do that they're attacked by the lions? So somehow it occurred to them that the Jewish God is the God in Eretz Yisrael. When they came from whatever country, Kusah, from the city Kusah, there was a different God over there. But in Eretz Yisrael, the Jewish God, Elokei Yisrael, is the God. So they better convert. So they converted to Judaism, but the Pasuk says, Salahem Hoyu Ovdim, they continued to worship their Avodah Zarah. They just went through the formality of conversion without absolutely any Kabbalah on mitzvahs whatsoever. So the Gemara says that there is a dispute in the Gemara. The original Kusim who converted clearly had no Kabbalah on mitzvahs. So they certainly never became Jewish. The question is the historical one, whether in some later period of history did the Kusim accept the mitzvos and repeat the act of Geiris a second time, in which case we should assume that they are Geiri Emes. At a later time in history they converted with a Kabbalah on mitzvah, they became Jewish, or no, that no such later act of conversion occurred, and relying on the original conversion there never was a Kabbalah on mitzvahs, so they're not Jewish and there's nothing to discuss. So this is the usual context of the usage of the term Geiri Aroy. So the Gemara uses the term Geiri Emes, means that Geiri Emes means that the conversion was valid, as opposed to Geiri Aroyos, one who converted only because of the lines and never accepted upon himself Olam Mitzvah. So that's Goy Gomer. There is another passage in the Gemara, in Yevamos Daf, around Daf Chof Dalet or so, where the Gemara says, what if a person converted, he was motivated to convert for non-religious reasons. He fell in love with a Jewish girl. He wanted a job in the Israeli army, in the Israeli government. Or the Jews are being honored, let's say, or the Jews are allowed to leave Russia and the goyim are not allowed to. So he converted by an authentic Bez, and he converted in order to get papers to leave Russia, to escape, to run away to Eretz Yisrael. So, or, the Gemara says, or, what if a non-Jew is being attacked by lions, and these crazy lions only have rachmanis on the Jews? Like the Russians, no? They only let the Jews leave. Stachmamish, Geri Arois. The lions in Eretz only attack non-Jews, and the Jews are not being attacked. So he converts to become Jewish. The motivation that inspired him to convert was not a religious one, but then he undergoes a bona fide conversion, and he's makabel upon himself olam mitzvah. So the Gemara has a dispute, the machlekes hatanoim, whether that geirus is chal, and the Gemara comes to the conclusion that that geirus is chal. There are two levels of geir. There is a geir who converted l'shem shamayim. If what motivated him, what inspired him, the lishmo was taka l'shem shamayim, then we call him a geir tzedek. And if he was not religiously motivated, but rather he fell in love with a Jewish girl, he wants a job in the Israeli government, or he wants a papers, passport, he wants to get the lions off of his back. So his inspiration to convert was not a religious one, but l'maisi, he accepted upon himself olam mitzvos. So that's a ger. The geris is valid. He becomes Jewish. We paskin. That's the maskana sagamah. We paskin. The geris is good. A geri arayis is good, but he's not called a ger tzedek. What's the difference whether we give him this title? A ger tzedek is just plain ger, just plain old ger. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, didn't say from his father, just said he thought that the pshat in the Rambam was, and it's interesting, the Achrayim have a long discussion on this Rambam, everybody has a different pshat, and the one who says the same pshat as Rav Soloveitchik of all people is the Minkatcher, and the Minchas Aluza, the Munkatcher writes this pshat in the Sefer, and everybody else has a different pshat. So Rav Soloveitchik and the Munkatcher both have this pshat in the Rambam, that the special mitzvah to go out of your way to be Mekarev Gerim, to invite them to your house and give them a loan and give them a job and kiss them and hug them and take them around and everything, make them comfortable, only applies to one who is a Ger Tzedek, one who converted out of religious conviction. He was motivated by religious conviction to convert. But if he was motivated in order to marry the Jewish girl, true, the Ger is Ischal, the conversion is Ischal, but he's only a Ger, he's a Ger, but he's not a Ger Tzedek. He's a lower level of a Ger, he's not a Ger Tzedek, and there's no special mitzvah over Yahavtem as a Ger. That's what the Rambam sounds like he's saying. So the Gemara has this dispute, the Maseches Yibam is on the Afkav Dalid, where the Geri Aroyos are Gerim or not. If one was motivated to convert out of the attacks of the wild lions, who only attack the non-Jews who live in Eretz, they don't attack the Jews, is the conversion valid? So the Gemara says, yes, it is valid. So Tosis asks, doesn't this contradict all the other Gemaras all over in Shas? The Gemara always uses the term Geri Aroyos in opposition to Geri Emes. Geri Emes means that there was a conversion. Geri Aroyos wanted to convert because of the wild lions is a Goy Gomer. How did the Gemara here come to the conclusion that Geri Aroyos is a good Geri? So Tosis says, no, they're two different, the same words, spelled the same translation, but they mean two different things. Tosis and Sukkot points out Daf Chesam and Beis, but that's the Pashup Shat in the Gemara. If he's a Geri Aroyos, he was intimidated by the lions and he decided to, what motivated him to convert was the attacks of the wild lions. But then Lebesov, he read up about Judaism, he studied his Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, he promises he's scared of those lions. He has more Yira from the lions than Yira Shamayim. So he says, but because of the lions, he's going to promise to keep all the mitzvahs HaTorah. So such a ger, that's the machloikis, and we pass on such a ger is Yischal. He's not a ger tzedek, there's no mitzvah of a haftam as a ger, but he's Jewish, he can be mitzaref into a minyan. But the Gemara all over in Shas that speaks of Geri Aroyos as being a nochri, that the geris is not chal at all, the conversion doesn't take effect at all, that's a ger who never accepted Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs at all. He was only afraid of the lions, and to make the lions happy, he went through conversion. He never accepted upon himself Olam Mitzvahs. So in such a case, the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs is lacking, so certainly the geris is not valid. So Tosis points out that's obviously the Pashup Shant in the Gemara. If there's no Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs, the geris is certainly not valid. There is a very strange tshuva, strange essay, and one of the svarim by the former chief rabbi, Sfaradi chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, the Mishpatei Uziel. He writes the following very strange notion. He says, the Gemara tells us when a non-Jew comes to convert, so first you try to give him a hard time a little bit. So you tell him, what do you need it for? It's going to be difficult. There's a lot of anti-Semitism. What do you need all the trouble for? Isn't it easier to remain a goy? And then if the Nochri keeps on insisting that he wants to become Jewish, as the Pasuk says by Rus, that Rus insisted that she wanted to come along with Naomi to convert, to become Jewish, the Gemara interprets the whole parasha in Rus, that she wanted to become Jewish. If Misametzes, Hilaleches, if the Ger insists, despite the pushing off, we try to dissuade them a little bit softly from becoming Jewish. If they insist, then we accept them. So in Rabbi Uziel's one of his tshuvas, he writes that the only reason why it's necessary to be modia the ger of the mitzvos is we should scare him a little bit. So we tell him, you sure you want to keep kashrus and taras hamishpacha and Shabbos? It's tough, difficult. Even a lot of Jews don't keep all these things. What do you need this for? It's easier to remain a goy. But he claims that if he never told them anything and he never accepted anything, that the geris would be valid. That's impossible to accept that. To say the Kabbalah HaMitzvahs is not miyakev is certainly not correct. Even the suggestion that he said that the Hoidoas HaMitzvahs, what he probably meant was the Hoidoas HaMitzvahs, notifying the ger of particular mitzvahs is only necessary for the sake of trying to dissuade him a little bit. Even that's a little difficult. The pashtus is that it's necessary lachatchila to enhance the Kabbalah HaMitzvahs, that the ger should know better what he's talking about when he says he accepts upon himself the obligation to keep all the mitzvahs. There is a problem that the Rishonim raised. There is a discussion in the Gemara in Ksubis in the first Perek about the situation where there's a little non-Jewish child who is being, let's say, in our language, is being adopted by Jewish parents. And the non-Jewish child says, just a little baby, he doesn't know anything about anything. He's only 1 month old. So the Gemara says that the Beis Din will convert the non-Jewish child even though there's no... there's no das on his part. He doesn't express anything on his part. No kabbalah salmitz. He doesn't accept any obligations upon himself. Nevertheless, the Gemara says that the geiris can be can take place based on the principle of zochen liyadim shloi b'fam, that we assume that it's in the best interests of the child to become Jewish rather than to remain a non-Jew. So the Rishonim have a whole dispute on that Gemara. They start off by asking the question, and what happened to the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah? Zochen liyadim shloi b'fanav means the following. If I want to give you a gift and you're not here, and there's someone else here, so I give the gift to the other person, he picks it up, and he's kind on your behalf. So the din is that he made the Maisa Kinyan for you. You don't. If he would have appointed you as a shaliach, if let's say the one who wants to receive the gift would have appointed someone else as a shliach, he would have made the kinyan, would have been good. But he never appointed anybody else as a shliach. So we say we assume that since in his best interest, we assume that if he would have known about what's happening, he would have appointed him as a shliach. So we say it's okay. So what can you say over here by the ger katan? Let's say I want to convert a non-Jewish child. So I'll go into the mikveh. I can go into the mikveh 100 times. It doesn't help for him. I have to push him into the mikveh. I have to make the milah on the little child. So what's with the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs? Oh, so the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs is an expression of das. He says, let's say the cotton says he wants to convert. So if you have a grown, if you have an adult who says he wants to convert, so he expresses das geiris. So here there's a cotton, 1 month old, he can't express any das. So we say that's okay. Just like if the person that doesn't know about the gift that we want to give him doesn't know anything about what's happening. So we say Zochen Lam Shleim Afanav can substitute for the lack of das. But the question is, just like the milah has to be actually done on the ger katan, and the tefillah has to be done on the ger katan, it doesn't help if the bezin goes into the mikveh. So where's the kabbalah sol mitzvahs? Where is the ger katan mekabel upon himself the ol mitzvah? What do you mean the bezin promises that that the other guy's going to keep mitzvahs? What kind of kabbalah sol mitzvahs is that? The bezin promises they're going to keep mitzvahs. They already are Jewish. How does it help the bezin promises that he's going to keep mitzvahs? If you should assume the kabbalah sol mitzvahs is a maisa geiris, a separate act of geiris, so where is the ger katan doing the kabbalah sol mitzvahs? So the Rishonim have two answers on this question. This is a very fundamental question. The Ritva has one answer, and most of there are three answers, but we'll leave out the third. But the basic two answers are the Ritva has one answer, and everybody else has a completely different answer. The Ritva, not Gemorin, Ksubis claims that whenever a non-Jew who comes to convert as a gavra la bar hachi, he's not a bardas, he's not able to express any das, so then there's taka no need for kabbalah sol mitzvah. Just like the Gemara says that bisman hazeh, how can we accept any converts today? There's no Beis HaMikdash. We're not able to bring any korbanos. So the Gemara derives from a pasuk that whenever you live in a generation, you have the ability to accept ger in all generations. So whenever you have a situation where it's impossible, physically impossible to bring korbanos, so the korban is not miyakev. So the Ritva claims the same is true regarding a ger katan, or for that matter, the same would be true regarding a cheresh or a shaita. Let's say there's a non-Jew who is retarded and he wants to convert and he's a lav bar das. So the Ritva says, this is a question in the Gonim, the Tshuvas HaGonim, there's a question what the din is. So the Ritva claims that such a person can become a ger without any Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. Whenever it's impossible to have Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs, it's not necessary. But then the Shaila is, but the Kotten will become grown up. So later, by the time he reaches Bar Mitzvah, he will be able to have Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. So how does he remain a Jew at that time? So the Ritva Taka says, Toiktakenish. So when he becomes bar mitzvah, we have to tell him that you were converted. You started off as a non-Jew, you were converted. We have to tell him the truth. And at that time, you have to ask him, do you choose to accept upon yourself all our mitzvahs? And if he says yes, then the geiris continues. If he says no, taka, the geiris will not continue. That's how the Ritva claims. This is not generally accepted by the other Mefarshim on the Gemara. The other Mefarshim understand the Gemara as having said something completely different. When the Gemara says, if the ger katan, if the child who was converted at infancy, grows up to the age of 13, and then later on when he finds out about the conversion, he says, I don't want it, he can break it up, it's not because at that time there's a lack of Kabbalah on mitzvahs. This is simply the principle in all acts of Zachar Adam Shalom Befanav. If I wanted to give you a gift and you're not here, and I gave the sefer to someone else who is here to be kain on your behalf, and then when you find out about it, your instinctive reaction is, no thank you, I don't want that gift. So this breaks up the application of Zachar Adam Shalom Befanav. The Gemara says that's a din in every case of Zachar. It's not a particular din over here by Ger Katan, because when it reaches the age of 13, it becomes a bar das, and at that time you require Kabbalah on mitzvahs. The pshat simply is, if he finds out that he was converted, that they did a teva for him, and he objects to it, his instinctive reaction is that he objects, then it breaks up the zochim. What if we'll never notify the child? Let's say we'll tell the child he was adopted, but we'll never tell him that he was converted. So according to the Ritva, it's no good. He will not remain Jewish. At the age of 13, we must tell him you were converted, and do you want to be Jewish? Do you want to keep mitzvahs or not? And Rav Moshe writes in his sefer that according to all of the regular standard poskim, this is not so. You know, it's not necessary. Psychologically recommended or not. But Rav Moshe claims that it's not necessary al pi halacha, because the act of Zachan already took effect, and only if he finds out later that he was converted and they did a teva for him and he objects to it, so that will cancel the conversion. No. The Gemara doesn't say that at all. The Gemara just says, Higdilu, when he reaches 13, Yecholim Limchus, they have the ability to break up the conversion, just the reverse. The simple reading of the Gemara does not at all sound like the Ritva. The Ritva says you must notify him when he reaches 13, and at that time he has to undergo Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. The simple chat is not so at all. If he finds out later that he was done this favor of conversion, and he protests, so then it breaks it up. No, you don't have to tell him he can't be Moicha. That's not necessary. You just tell him that you were converted, and then you see if he's happy about it or not. If he's unhappy, so that'll cancel the gears. You don't have to tell him that he has the option. Miyun also, they don't have to tell a girl. If she's unhappily married, in certain cases. No, you're referring, sometimes the Mishnah says we encourage a girl to break up her marriage by coming to Bezin and declaring. That's in certain special cases, but normally we wouldn't encourage them, and we don't have to tell them that they have that option either. No, different expression. It's never the same expression. Yeah. Yes. Right. I'd like to bring that up in another minute. Right. In another minute, I'll bring that up. Lean that up. There was a big dispute in Europe 90 years ago, and it was an ongoing dispute for till the Nazis resolved all the disputes. What is the status of a non-observant couple who want to adopt a non-Jewish child and convert the child? Should that be considered an act of zochin for the baby? Are you really doing him a favor, bringing the child into Yiddishkeit and then brought up by non-observant parents, and is going to violate all the Tariq mitzvah? It'll be a nice personal support to the state of Israel, give charity, give money to the shul and so on, but he won't keep Shabbos, Kashas, Taras, HaMishpacha. Or are you doing a disservice to this child? If he would have remained a goy, he would have been a nice goy. He keeps 100%, all the Sheva mitzvahs has been enough. Now that you made him a Jew, he's required to observe all the Tariq mitzvahs, and he keeps nothing. So you're making his situation worse. So this was a major dispute from the turn of from the early 1900s till the war, till the Second World War. The overwhelming majority opinion of the Rabbanim was that it's not considered a schus, and included in the overwhelming majority was Rav Yitzchak Elchanan. There was a sefer published in Europe many, many years ago where they collected all the opinions of the Rabbanim. So it turned out all of the Rabbanim, including Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, they all wrote letters that they feel you're not doing the fellow a favor, you're doing him a disservice, you're doing him a disfavor. And the rabbi in Frankfurt at that time, the Unsdorfer, Rabbi Horowitz, took over the position, the Breuer's, the Austritz Gemeinde, so that he disagreed. He disagreed with Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. Yitzchak Elchanan was the Pesach Gadol. No, so people have the right to disagree. So he disagreed. There were several others whose opinions are not quoted in that sefer. There was a special sefer that was printed. There was really a minority opinion. There were several others who also disagreed, but it was clearly a minority opinion. The overwhelming majority opinion was that it's considered a disservice to the child that he should be adopted by non-observant parents. This is a shaila in America as well. Came up, same old shaila. So you have the overwhelming majority opinion is that it's not considered an act of zochin. In fact, to the best of my knowledge, this was the opinion of Rabbi Soloveitchik. I never heard it personally from him. But this is Rabbi Chatzka Lukstein has this position from Rabbi Soloveitchik. You cannot adopt a non-Jewish child if the parents are non-observant and they won't give the child at least a minimum Jewish education till the end of elementary school. They don't have to send him davke to a Haredi yeshiva to learn for smicha and koilo. But if they're not going to give him an elementary Jewish education, so that's not a schus, that's a chayva. And this is the way others told me, also in the name of Rabbi Soloveitchik, and there is in America also this minority opinion. Somehow the minority opinion became bigger in America, that that it's considered a schus. I don't exactly understand why, but that's the question. The mitzvah, let me go back a little bit, one step. The Gemara tells us that it is a mitzvah on the part of the Bezdin to accept the ger. If a ger comes to convert, we are fulfilling a mitzvah. And if we have the option, let's say the ger comes today, and it's 3:30, and we have till Lichtbenchen is 4:30, and if we can take him to the mikveh today, Shabbos he can't be mekabel any ger, because you're not allowed to make a Bezdin on Shabbos. If you take him to the mikveh today, and as opposed to taking him to mikveh on Sunday, Motzoi Shabbos is Balayla also, there's no Bezdin Balayla, so you have to wait till Sunday morning. So the Gemara says it's not proper to wait to postpone the mitzvah. If you have an hour, if it's close by, you should take him to the mitzvah today to fulfill the mitzvah of Geiris today. So it's clear from the Gemara that there's a mitzvah to be Mekabel Geirim. However, this mitzvah, it's also clear in the Rambam that the mitzvah that's being fulfilled on the part of the Bezdin is only if you have a ger who is religiously motivated to become Jewish. If you have a ger who will be a ger, he will be Jewish. The gerus will be valid, but he won't be a ger tzedek because his motivation is one for the sake of marriage, or he wants to go to Israel and blend into the society there. It's a different, not religious motivation. Any other ulterior motive, so then the gerus will be chal, but it wasn't l'shem shamayim. So then the halacha, the Rama makes it clear, there's no mitzvah on the part of the bezin to be mekabel such a ger. So why should any bezin in their right mind do it? What do they have to get involved? The Gemara says being mekabel gerim is anyway a headache. So the Rambam says, Anachinami, that the Bezdin who will probably be involved will be a Bezdin Shel Hedyotos. They won't be prominent rabbis. They'll probably be, he uses a derogatory term, Bezdin Shel Hedyotos, people who did something that's not really proper. In our generation, we have no choice sometimes, so we accept, Reb Chaim Moshe as it should be, says, we have no brayer, so we accept such gerim also, but we do not feel that we're fulfilling a mitzvah of geiris, but fulfilling a mitzvah, somehow saving the other party from intermarriage, or saving the Jewish community from having a non-Jew blended in without anybody realizing. It's a different mitzvah. It's not the mitzvah of geiris, mitzvah of sparing confusion in the Jewish community. But it's clearly not a mitzvah of geiris. The question is, what if the Bezdin that was involved in the act of conversion was a conservative Bezdin? So if you had a conservative or reform rabbi performing a marriage, that's lo malav lo morid. There is no requirement for a rabbi. Strictly speaking, you don't need a masada kiddush. The Rishonim say this is a takonas chachamim. The Gemara says kol sheni de b'tiv git nikiddushin la yehei lo isik imayim. There was a takon of the later amoroim that you should have a masada haget. You should have a masada kiddushin. But before that takona, and even today, if the chassan knows how to say harayat mekudeshesli, he doesn't really need a rabbi. He'll just be in violation of this later takona. So when it comes to kiddushin, if you have a reform rabbi doing it, it doesn't really matter. As long as you had two kosher witnesses and the chosen gave a ring and he said harayat, so the marriage would get off the ground. As far as geirus though, the din requires that you have to have a bezin. A bezin has to be a kosher bezin. A kosher bezin means whoever the din is, whoever is possible l'edus, is also possible to be a dayan. It doesn't necessarily mean that whoever is kosher l'edus is also kosher to be a dayan. I get a lot of mail, so every so often I get some entertaining literature in the mail. So I don't know how this came about. I gave a lecture about 2 years ago, I think, in Rabbi Roth's shul in the Fifth Avenue Synagogue about Dina de Malchus Adina, about business ethics and different things. So apparently in the lecture, I don't recall, apparently in the lecture I spoke about cheating on income tax, that it's prohibited. It's an Isser of Gzela. And strictly speaking, if you have a person who cheats on income tax, he should really be a ganef, he should be posoleidus. So if you have such a person as one of the witnesses under the chuppah, you should invalidate the marriage. And I must have told a story. Did I tell a story? I don't recall. I must have told, I was once invited to a wedding where all of the kibbutzim were divided 50-50 between the chassan and the kala. So the chassan came from YU and the kala was from a different orientation. So the Misari Kiddushin was Rav Shnia Kotler, Zuchan Urach, even Misari Kiddushin. So he filled up the cup of wine under the chuppah as they're calling out. Deidi Kiddushin, Rabbi Herschel Schechter, both Rabbi Herschel Schechters were there, but the chassan told me in advance that was going to be. So I walked up, and he calls out another rabbi from the Kalistzat. So Rav Shnia Kotler fills up the cup and he's waiting. He assumed the other eight is going to walk up. And he doesn't come, they're waiting. So Rav Shnia Kotler starts to talk to me and learning under the chuppah a long, long shtickle Torah, which I printed later in his name after he passed away. I never found it anywhere else. A long shtickle Torah, he's waiting and waiting, holding the cup. So he puts down the cup of wine and stands. And we were all waiting, so they finally got another witness. After the chuppah, Rabbi Herschel Schechter comes over to me and he tells me he was standing next to the other Rabbi X, whose name was called out. This Rabbi X was just indicted the week before for cheating on lunch programs. He's involved with a certain famous yeshiva in Brooklyn. He was indicted by the government for cheating from embezzling money. So he knew he was postulated. And till he announced it in the newspaper, apparently he had doubts whether he's postulated. But that time he realized that he's postulated. So when they called him up to be one of the Eidei Kiddushin, so he didn't go. So Rabbi Herschel Schechter said, they're calling you up. So he says in Yiddish, there are other Eidei. They can get somebody else. And Rabbi Schechter didn't understand why. Until later on, he realized that they had just written him up in the newspaper that he's a ganef. So I spoke about those who cheat on income tax, strictly speaking, should all be posoleidus. So it's going to be difficult to find anyone who's really married. So apparently in my talk, I explained that the Gemara has a principle that if people cheat a little bit here, they cheat a little bit there, and everybody does it. Nefar emphasis, everybody does it, so it's not so bad. So that's called Moira Heta. You give a teretz, it's not so bad because everybody does it. So even though it's prohibited, even though you're really strictly in violation of Gzela, you really should be postulated. But that's considered Beshogig, even though we all know that it's prohibited and it's clearly not allowed. But since the Minigam Dina is that people do it, so you can't say that the fellow is postulated. So I get a letter, half a year later, I get a letter from a rabbi. Apparently he's a rabbi of a conservative or reformed temple somewhere in South Carolina. I don't remember the community. I think it was in South Carolina or somewhere about there. And he writes me, he got a copy of this tape of the lecture that I gave, and he found it very interesting, the concept of Moreh Heter, that those who cheat on income tax, even though they know that it's wrong, but it's B'shoigig, so the kosher latest. So he's wondering, maybe his practice is not so bad. What does he do? He tries to keep up the standards in his congregation to the best that he can, to try to encourage the people to be, he comes from Orthodox background apparently, tries to encourage his Baal Batim, his conservative reformed temple, they should be a little bit religious. But what can he do? They drive to shul, they don't keep kosher, they violate all the laws of the Torah. But he says they try to the best of their ability. And the teretz always is that, well, they, you know, Rabbi, everybody does it. They only trade, they all drive to shul, so they'll also drive to shul. So he, whenever he does a conversion, so he tries to do kedas v'kahalocha, so he always tries to get the frumah Baal Batim, from his frumah Baal Batim, from his reformer conservative temple, to serve as members of the bezin. He assumes that he's okay, and he has the frumah Baal Batim, and maybe his practice is not so bad based on my lecture about the Moreh Heter, that since they know that all the others do the same thing, so it's not so bad. So I had to write him back a response. So what am I going to write? I'm going to type a letter, dear rabbi. So I felt very uncomfortable. So I wrote on the back of his letter. It's not that Harris, maybe. I took his letter and I wrote just on the back. I jotted down some comments. I wouldn't have to write the full-fledged letter. So I wrote, it could be possibly the Cheshbon is right as far as the Baal Batim are concerned. But if the rabbi comes from a background, I don't know who he is, I never heard of him before, but if the rabbi comes obviously from an Orthodox background, and he obviously is compromising his principles for parnassah to do something which he knows is improper, to be a rabbi in a form shul, so there's no teretz on him. So that's called the Rosh HaDechama, strictly speaking. He's really postulated, and he's possible to be a Dayan as well. So that's number one I pointed out. Then I pointed out another point, that even this concept of Meira Heter only makes a person kosher la'edus, but it doesn't necessarily make him kosher to be a Dayan. Whoever is possible to be an aid is clearly possible to be a Dayan, but in order to be a Dayan you need a little more than that. So the Rambam says you have to have, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes this, you have to have people who are Chachamim and who are Balei Anova. They have to be humble and they have to be honest, and they have to have a good reputation and so on. So the Chazon Ish points out, and even if they're not such great Chachamim, but they have to be a little Chachamim, even if they're not very humble, but they have to be a little bit humble. What if they're clearly arrogant? What if they're clearly stupid? Or what if they have clearly a very bad reputation? So then the Chazon Ish writes that the Bezin is possible afilu b'dayavad. So unfortunately we have such situations. We have batei dinim for the purpose of conversion, where the one or more of the members of the Bezdin have clearly very bad reputations, and clearly the din is that such a Bezdin is possible. So that's the main problem with the even if the Kabbalah on mitzvahs might be not so bad, the problem would be that the members of the Bezdin are not really kosher adayanim. No, there's a lot to discuss in Hilchas Geiris. I just wanted to bring out these few points, just the issue of the Kabbalas on mitzvahs and the Lishma, the idea behind the Lishma, and the kashrus of the members of the Bezdin.
Thank you.
Good to you.
Rabbi Rosenzweig will be giving a shiur in the Renaissance Hall where the shul is.